views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here in the Seattle area on KKNW AM 1150. You may be listening on WBLQ on the East Coast, AM 1230 radio on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. And if you're not happening to be listening live, you might be listening through the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com. But I tell you, whenever and wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be grateful you joined us, because we're going to be talking about something in great depth that affects each and every one of us. But before I say anything more about that topic and who our guest is today, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations through the magic of technology, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Good morning and good day, Christine. I hope you are doing well in your area.
I am. Good. I'm out in the San Juan Islands right now, and you know, I'm on island time, but, you know, I have to be careful not to be on island time when it's radio time.
It's the usual time, but, I mean, island time is a very relaxing time for most.
It is. It is. And, you know, just watching nature in its sort of gentleness kind of shifts my mood a bit. Mm-hmm. And so it's always wonderful to be here, whether to write, to connect with others, mm-hmm. to connect with nature, to hike. And so I'm grateful for the good weather, too, Benny.
Sounds pleasant. Sounds pleasant.
And I'm really excited about my guest today, Benny, because she is talking about a subject that I know, based on my own experience, is very important. I'm learning more from her through her book, and I can't wait to learn more from her today in the show. I'm talking about Suzanne Scurlock-Durana. She is one of the world's leading authorities on conscious awareness and its transformational impact on our healing process. She has been empowering people for over three decades to help them experience joy in each moment without burning out. And she offers practical tools and skills to improve every aspect of our lives, from health and well-being to relationships, careers, creativity, and even the growth of our businesses. She has created the Comprehensive Healing from the Core training curriculum, did that back in 1994, and she does international workshops, webinars, speaking engagements, and also offers audio programs. She's the author of two books. Her previous book was Full Body Presence, Learning to Listen to Your Body's Wisdom. And her most recent book is called Reclaiming Your Body, Healing from Trauma and Awakening to Your Body's Wisdom. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Suzanne Scurlock-Durana. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Christine.
So glad to have you here today. You know, I know that in the consciousness realm for many years, literally decades, we've talked about mind, body, and spirit. But I think what a lot of people do is they focus on the spirit, they focus on the mind, and don't want to focus so much on the body. You are basically taking us to task over that. Why is it important for us to be listening to our body?
You know, to answer that question, I think I would just like to read just a small passage from the book, because I think it says it all, if you don't mind.
Okay. Oh, that'd be great.
It's on page 8, actually, of Reclaiming Your Body. The Most Important Relationship in Your Life is the title. Your relationships with other people throughout your lifetime, with your parents, spouses, children, friends, and teachers, will shift as time passes and situations change. However, as long as you are alive, your body is always with you. It is so beneficial to have a strong, deep, intimate relationship with your own unique physical self. Your body is designed to guide you, keep you safe, and bring you full vitality and pleasure. It is the vehicle through which you create and manifest your thoughts and dreams into reality. In this book, you'll discover how establishing and nurturing a healthy relationship with your body will allow you to reclaim lost parts of yourself, tap into your body's wisdom, and better navigate your life.
Yeah, and that's beautiful and profound. And yet here, at least in Western culture, we disconnect from our bodies. We have what you call numerous myths about our bodies.
Yeah.
What are these myths?
Well, you know, there's the myth that the body isn't as smart as the brain,
mm-hmm.
and that therefore our mental faculties are what we should be paying attention to, not the signals from our body. There's a myth that whatever trauma I've had is stored in my body, and I can't possibly go close to my body because it'll be too painful.
Mm-hmm,
I'll just be overwhelmed by the amount of pain that I feel, and that's it. I'll just be swallowed up by the pain.
Right, and that, of course, makes us want to avoid it.
Right,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the one about how the body is mysterious, and it holds really scary emotions and feelings,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Powerful feelings and emotions, and you can't really get anywhere close to them, or it'll kill you. It'll be disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the one about how the body is seductive, and you don't want to get too close to how you feel in your body, like your sensuality and sexuality, because
right.
that'll just take you right down the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The last one is I think that I'm actually just naming the five body myths that I have seen most frequently in the thousands of people I've worked with.
Uh-huh.
The last one is that the body is really something that is just a tool, and you have to whip it into shape and keep whipping it into shape. And whatever you do, don't listen to the signals. Don't slow down. Don't rest.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let up, or it will just take over, and you'll become a sloth on a couch somewhere.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
And yet, in your book, you go into great detail about how there is wisdom within the body. I'm really curious about your own journey, because I know, you know, from my own personal life and the life of so many colleagues and clients, that basically we end up, you know, creating our passion often out of our own woundedness,
mm-hmm.
out of our own path to healing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a little bit about your story and how this led you, your story, your background led you to this wisdom?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because I would say that in my growing up years, I had a number of things, like many children in middle-class families do in Western culture, things that caused me to not want to feel my feelings, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, caused me to kind of tighten down and say, okay, I'm never going to trust anybody again, or, you know, there are
right.
all of those little stories and decisions that we make growing up that some people might call acculturation. You know, I call it little forms of trauma that tighten us down inside. But
uh-huh.
the biggie, you know, the biggie for me was when I was 17. And I actually write about this in the book,
mm-hmm.
in fact, in both books, I had a friend that was crashing on amphetamines, and he strangled me. And I almost died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really powerful story, because this is somebody you knew,
yeah.
cared about, and trusted.
Absolutely. Yes. And the big deal about it, though, I mean, it was a very traumatic experience. I
mm-hmm.
did live through it. But
mm-hmm.
the cool part that really ignited me internally, and I didn't even know at the time, Christine, that it was igniting me until it just sort of slowly grew and grew and grew, because I was only 17 when this happened,
mm-hmm.
was the knowledge. I recognized that my gut had known a good 15 or 20 minutes, maybe a half an hour before he strangled me, that
wow.
something not right was happening
uh-huh.
in that vehicle. We were just sitting in the parking lot at a pool party, you know, on summer
uh-huh.
night. And I knew something was off, and there was nothing about the tone of his voice, nothing about our conversation.
Uh-huh.
It was all easy and friendly. But my gut knew, and I got to tell you, I started listening. After that, I totally
uh-huh.
started listening, and my understanding about gut hunches just grew and grew and grew.
Yeah. I know we use that term, you know, trust your, all sorts of phrases, trust your gut, referring to, you know, how we feel. But what, in terms of the physicality, does our gut feel like when we're getting guidance there?
Yeah. You know, honestly, when the gut is giving you guidance, it's often just a very subtle, small sense of this is the right thing to do or something's really off here. In my case, it just felt like a very subtle sense of uneasiness. It wasn't the kind of worry that you get in your head when you're afraid something's going to happen. No,
right.
It's just, it's very, number one, it's lower in the body.
Okay.
But number two, there's no charge to it. There was just a very clear sense that I should have gotten out of that car and walked away long before I did.
Uh-huh. And that's fascinating. You say there's no charge to it, as opposed to if you were in the mental realm of fear, there'd be a great charge to it.
Oh, yeah. And it would cause, you know, your vagus nerve to start to fire and your gut would get the churning. That's a very different sense than the sense that I had in my gut that night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's another story that followed after that that I think I talked about in my first book, just a couple of years later, where I got myself out of a potential date rape circumstance by trusting my gut. It just I felt like something was off, and I just very impolitely excused myself, got up and left the room and didn't go back. And it probably saved my buns. So
did you get validation somehow that
I did?
That okay.
Well,
what was that validation?
The validation was that several other women on campus showed up having been date raped by this same guy.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So what a great lesson in listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
so that was the beginning, was my gut. And then, you know, you get to the heart and your bones and your pelvis and your feet and legs, all those other areas. It just grew and grew with my craniosacral practice over the last 34 years. Yeah.
Right, right. And that's very powerful, and we want to talk lots more about that, talk about the different types of knowingness in our bodies, and also the body intelligence quotient and how we can release trauma and learn to listen to our body's wisdom more. More with Suzanne Skrlak-Dirana here in just a few moments.
Did you know what you learned in school was wrong, and there is actually a fourth phase of water beyond liquid, vapor, and ice? I know. I too was shocked when I learned this. What makes this new discovery so exciting? In scientific terms, this cutting-edge research explains the energetic potency of water. In practical terms, this missing link of water is now breaking open the floodgates for us to have a more complete understanding of our health, our weather, and the physics of our world. Join researcher, award-winning presenter, and author Professor Gerald Pollack of the University of Washington as he shares new scientific insights about how this fourth phase of water, the sun's energy, and geomagnetism affect our planet and how this affects you at East West Bookshop in Seattle on Saturday, August 5th at 7 p.m. For more information or to register, go to eastwestbookshop.com or call 206-523-3726.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The goal for the Art of Powerful Living Radio is to inspire every human to live lives that are rich, fulfilling, on purpose, and fun. This hit show with Robert Schoenfeld is a fresh approach to boldly living our lives with creativity, courage, patience, wisdom, love, and power. Join Robert every month with Dr. Pat Basile for the Art of Powerful Living Radio.
I'm I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Benny, I always love the songs that you choose for the lyrics that relate to the subject at hand. And the subject we are talking about is how to reclaim our bodies. Mm-hmm. You know, Suzanne, I know that you've got a quick little quiz about determining our body intelligence quotient. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things we should be asking ourselves to know whether or not we are in connected to our body's intelligence?
Well, number one, let me just say why I put it in here. I call it the BQ, the body intelligence quiz, because interestingly enough, people have a lot of denial about their relationships with their relationship with their body. So fascinating, because what people think their relationship is versus the reality of it can be two very different things. And I'm talking about everybody here. I'm not just talking right. about just you. I also have areas where I'm not aware of what's going on in my system.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of a really key piece. And so I put this BQ in here so people could have a baseline of, well, where am I? You know, where am I starting? Do I have a friendly relationship with my body?
Right.
Or do I have a contentious relationship? Or do I feel like my body betrays me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So
one of the questions, just think about it. When you think about your body, is your first impulse to feel appreciation for it? Or do you judge yourself and mostly notice the things that you want to change?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, that's a pivotal one. And for most women, you're probably going to be sitting more on the spectrum towards judgment than appreciation.
Absolutely. And I am guilty of that.
Yeah. Well, we all are to some degree, depending on what you're doing. Here's another one. When your body's natural needs and urges arise for food, sleep, mm-hmm. fluid, sex, and elimination, do you feel at peace with those needs, or are you at odds or in conflict with your body?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, do you fight your need for sleep and stay right. up later than you should?
And drink lattes in the afternoon, or, you know.
Exactly. Do you suppress, you know, when you really should get up and go to the bathroom, do you hang on to it until you're almost doubled over? I mean, I know people that do that. Do you eat foods that you know are not good for you, but they taste good? You know, there's this there's a whole new way of kind of looking at your body, but in a very primal way, in terms of trusting yourself, partnering with your body, feeling supported or betrayed by your body, feeling like you feel clear about what your body is saying or confused by it. Mm-hmm. Do you feel connected to it? Do you feel detached from it? You know, there's so many different spectrums that we can use to look at, well, what is my relationship with my body right now? And this little, I think it is nine, what we ended up with nine. Yeah, we ended up with nine questions. Believe me, we went round and round on these questions and fine-tuned and fine-tuned and fine-tuned them. But I think they're the best questions out there for not only concrete relationship answers, but your internal, emotional connection and answers to yourself.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm always fascinated by both my own response to pain and watching others in their dealing with pain. Mm-hmm. Unless the pain is completely overwhelming and you can't help but focus on it, I think many of us have just learned or taught ourselves to push through it, to ignore it, and not to deal with it.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. And the interesting piece, so it's either that would be one spectrum of what we do with a body signal, which is either suppress it and keep going because I have to.
Right.
Or let's take the one where you're, and I've seen this as well, a small pain shows up somewhere and instantly you go into fear. Oh, my God, I think it's cancer. This must be cancer. Oh, my God, if it's in that part of my, it must be pancreatic cancer. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
Sally died in 3 months of pancreatic cancer. Oh, my God. And so now it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And you can't even think clearly, much less listen to what's happening in your body with that little catch and pull that you're feeling in your side under your ribs on the left-hand side, right? So if you've lost all curiosity, you've definitely judged it as something terrible, and you've just dived down a rabbit hole of fear. So there's another possibility that people can do that isn't helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, that's the belief that your body's betraying you, because if there's a twinge, it must be something that's going to kill you.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's just so many different ways that we can either partner with our bodies and learn from it. And really, and by the way, this is going to go on our whole lives. For each one of us, I'm learning new signals from my body today. And this has been my commitment to myself for decades.
Uh-huh.
I'm still learning to translate new signals that my body might send me, because now I'm in my very early 60s, and I have different signals from my body today than I had in my early 30s.
Right.
So it's not like I can learn what one signal means, and then for the rest of my life, that's all it ever means.
Yeah.
So it's a changing, ever-growing relationship throughout your life. But there's some very key pieces that I talk about, that I'm sure you also talk about in your work, that have to do, that really grow a deeper relationship with yourself. So cultivating curiosity, for instance, versus...
Oh, yes. Without the judgment, yes.
Exactly, exactly. Curiosity is the antidote to a judgment. Okay, and actually, my next book is going to be about curiosity, awareness, and trust, because I call it the cat, because it's a really key piece for having a good relationship with your body. Can you be curious about the signal it's giving you rather than judging it?
So why don't you go through an example of how it would be, instead of judging it or avoiding it, suppressing it, how could you be curious about something?
So I'll tell you, and this actually will probably be an opening story in a future book. I woke up one night, and I had been noticing for a couple of weeks that I had some tightness around my left collarbone area and a little bit of pulling in the left side of my neck. And I was thinking to myself, that's odd, and I'd gone and gotten adjusted, and I'd got it massaged, and it would stay away for just a tiny bit of time, and then it would come back. So I wake up in the middle of the night, about 2 in the morning, and when I breathe, it hurts. I mean, it hurts. Not like a sharp pain, not like a heart attack pain. But I can't get a full breath.
Right.
Now, this is something that for most people would send them instantly into panic. You know, I can't breathe. But I laid there and I thought, isn't that odd? So I reached over and woke up my husband, and again I just stayed curious. Now, if I had gotten scared at that point, my chest probably would have gotten tighter. I probably would have gone into a panic, and then I really couldn't have breathed. But to make a long story short, what happened over the next 2 hours, but my husband's an acupuncturist and also a craniosacral therapist and a healthcare person. He does coaching and all kinds of stuff. So he, number one, took my pulses, and he said, well, you're not having a heart attack, but just in case, get up and go take an aspirin. So I did. I got up, and when I stood up, it didn't hurt. And I thought, that's weird. So number one, I knew I wasn't having a heart attack right there. But I also, in my body, I just settled in, and I thought about calling 911, you know, and the ambulance, and And I thought, no, that's not, I don't need that. I'm not suggesting to your listeners that anybody else try this if you get chest tightening, unless
right.
you really know your own body signals, unless you have somebody like my husband laying beside you that can affirm my
sure.
hunch at that point.
Right. Right.
Okay. And we figured out over the next 2 hours, just by staying curious, we got on the internet, I tried different positions, and finally uh-huh. figured out that when I got on all fours and was kind of leaned over the bed with my elbows on the bed, and he was doing acupuncture points down my back and,
uh-huh.
you know, tapping things, I was completely out of pain in a couple of hours and was able to go back to sleep. I mean, no problems breathing, nothing. We got
uh-huh.
in the car the next morning, and we figured out that it was probably pericarditis.
Uh-huh.
And when we went to the internet, sure enough, there it was. If you have pain on lying flat back or right or left side,
uh-huh.
it's a pericarditis. If you have pain in other circumstances, you're having a heart attack, call 911.
What is pericarditis?
Pericarditis is a severe inflammation of the envelope, the fascial envelope that your heart lives in.
Okay.
So interestingly enough, when you lean forward, it takes that envelope off the back of your ribs. And so it's not scraping back and forth every time you breathe in and breathe out. That's where the pain
right.
is. So you lean forward. Now you've no longer got the ribs being pulled and tugged, and the pain goes away. So it was the most fascinating thing, because all of the symptoms for your average person would have sent them into a complete fear-based tailspin
mm-hmm.
that could have escalated it to something else. You know, we got
right.
to the ER. I got up at 6 in the morning, went to the ER just to double-check everything. And they said, sure enough, they looked at everything. All my numbers were good. And
uh-huh.
whatever treatment my husband had given me had even taken care of the pro-inflammatory cytokines. We didn't really have any signals at all. And they said, this was, by all description, you have pericarditis. Here's a high-dose anti-inflammatory to take for the next couple of weeks until the virus goes away. And that's
uh-huh.
that. So it's a really interesting piece how staying curious and staying open and really continuing a dialogue with your body in a very
uh-huh.
intimate level, you can get all kinds of answers that you lose the capacity to hear if you go into judgment and fear.
Right.
I mean, you just lose that capacity. And I think about how really good body work, as well as psychotherapy and coaching, helps people to stay curious and not go into judgment and fear. And when we do that, when we assist people in that process, either hands-on or hands-off or via energy work, that helps people to get to their inner wisdom, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And it's the body system. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's this aspect of creating presence and in-the-moment awareness without that judgment
yes.
that vibrationally affects you know, where we're at. It affects our vibrational field, and it's through that place where change can occur. So it's a very powerful place to be, whether
right.
working with somebody as you do and as I have done for many years too, or dealing with ourselves.
That's actually what I teach in my class. It's full body presence in the Skills to Energize Your Life class, in all of my mm-hmm. advanced trainings in Healing from the Core. I actually teach people how to calibrate internally and work with their own process, and then how to work with someone else's process in that same way. And that's a real
mm-hmm.
gift to know how to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to go to another quick break, but more about reclaiming your body here in just a few moments.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Did you know what you learned in school was wrong, and there is actually a fourth phase of water beyond liquid, vapor, and ice? I know. I too was shocked when I learned this. What makes this new discovery so exciting? In scientific terms, this cutting-edge research explains the energetic potency of water. In practical terms, this missing link of water is now breaking open the floodgates for us to have a more complete understanding of our health, our weather, and the physics of our world. Join researcher, award-winning presenter, and author Professor Gerald Pollack of the University of Washington as he shares new scientific insights about how this fourth phase of water, the sun's energy, and geomagnetism affect our planet and how this affects you at East West Bookshop in Seattle on Saturday, August 5th at 7 p.m. For more information or to register, go to eastwestbookshop.com or call 206-523-3726.
Isn't it time to put your health first? To give yourself the gift of whole body wellness? What if embracing unconditional love and self-care was the first step to wellness? Could you honor that for yourself? My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and the author of Rewired Life, A Journey to Untangle Chronic Pain and Endometriosis. In my book, I share how I healed from 17 years of chronic pain and disease. Get your signed copy at audreymichelle.com/book, spelled MICHEL.com/book.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to Suzanne Skrlak-Urana, the author of a couple of books, including her latest, which is wonderful, Reclaiming Your Body, Healing from Trauma and Awakening to Your Body's Wisdom. And I love it, Suzanne, that you and I are talking shop on the break, and Benny had to interrupt us because it's such a wonderful conversation, both on air and off.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about your own experience and how important it is for us to trust our gut.
Mm-hmm.
What are the different types of body wisdom that we should mm-hmm. be listening to and connecting with?
Well, I just want to say the caveat that every single cell in our body has intelligence and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I chose these six wisdom areas, I basically had to stop counting the different kinds of wisdom areas, because I could have kept going. And there are many other smaller wisdom areas. But what I did was I named kind of the six major neighborhoods, if you will, in the body
mm-hmm.
that have
okay.
their own characteristic kind of wisdom. So the two that people are really, I was going to say one, but there really are two nowadays. The enteric brain, like the gut brain,
uh-huh.
has gotten a tremendous amount of press recently, a lot of research on how intelligent the gut is and how it guides the immune system, and there are more endorphins are made there than in the brain and the head brain, and all of the different stuff about the gut brain. The other place that has really gotten a lot of press, thank you, HeartMath Institute.
Mm-hmm,
I love the HeartMath
yes.
Institute.
I did too.
I got to meet Roland McCready actually at a conference I was at in London in
uh-huh.
May.
Yeah,
what a great
too,
guy.
Yeah.
And we had some... Yeah, we had a wonderful conversation about the heart. And they've done a tremendous amount of research about the heart and the heart brain and the capacity when the heart is coherent and it has good heart rate variability to clear your mind and to connect with the prefrontal cortex and the midbrain in such a way that you're more creative. You're more capable of doing strategic thinking and following through on things you want to do. And it is just wonderful how the heart feeds the brain and not the other way around.
Once upon a time, we were sure the brain is the king. And there are many out there who still believe that, and yet science is showing that that's not quite the case.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just laugh. I have to tell you, I've been doing this for so long that when I meet somebody that's still locked in their head, I mean, it used to really bother me because I had so many experiences of that just not being true, that our brains in our heads are not, I mean, someone who just lives from there, I just feel sorry for them because they're missing so much of the juiciness of life and the richness of life when that's the only thing that they can actually assess the world or their life from. Is it reasonable and is it logical? If it ain't reasonable or logical, I don't want to have anything to do with it, and I'm not going to allow it to have any validity in my world. And then that just makes me like, okay, well, if you must, you know, if you really have to do it that way, go ahead. But you're missing out. Know that you're missing out. So that's the, you know, that was one of the biggies. The pelvis is a part of the body that is the engine of who we are. When that root chakra is open and the energy is moving through it, you've got health, you've got the energy for the gut and the heart to really power what they know they want to do. The pelvis is a biggie. And yet in our culture, in Western culture, it's often demonized. It's sort of the black sheep of the family, I say, because because sensuality and sexuality is definitely marginalized in a lot of different ways.
And compartmentalized is not as an integral part of our being.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just honestly, it's just kind of idiotic because it's just not true. Yeah, and there are a bunch of stories in the book where I talk about different things that happen with the pelvis that can be make or break deals in our health, in our whole body health. Yeah.
Right. Could you give us an example? Because the stories are so powerful.
Yeah. So one of the real ones, and I actually had this experience myself in a different way, but there was a client of mine that came in, and she was just dragging. It was a new client. Somebody finally talked her into coming in to see me. And I could tell that she was someone that was used to getting a lot done, but she was really, her energy level was in the toilet. Mm-hmm. And I come to find out that a year before, she had been out hiking and had slipped and landed on a really hard rock and had probably broken her coccyx, possibly her sacrum. But by the nature of what I was able to do for her, I think it was just the coccyx because we were able to free it up. But it was fascinating because ever since that injury occurred, number one, she got right back up after, and she was in excruciating pain, got right back up. She had to hike back down the mountain.
Oh, yeah, right.
Kept on going. She was the mother of young children. Her husband depended on her. She never stopped. She just kept pushing on through. And she had always thought of herself as being kind of easygoing and loved to do things for her family and full of life and everything. And she just, it was almost like somebody pulled a plug. She had no energy. She was literally running on fumes for a year. And
that's a long time.
Well, yeah, it got worse and worse. She got more and more irritated with her family, with her poor husband, but she didn't stop. And she didn't realize that she actually forgot about the fall, and she did not realize that it came from an injury that literally had traumatized her pelvis to such a degree, the whole pelvic floor had just tightened down, and there was not much energy running through there at all because of what was going on. And when I held her sacrum and her coccyx in my hand, it was like, whoa, baby, what happened here? And the whole, then she remembered what had occurred. Literally, she didn't come into me saying, I want you to work on my pelvis. She came in saying, you know, my best friend said, I just have to come in and see you because you helped her with her energy. And I read the body, went for the sacrum and pelvis and just said, wait a minute, what happened here? It was like holding a cold rock in my hand rather than a warm, living bone that should have movement to it. And we worked on that for, you know, layer after layer after layer, because she had been walking around with that for almost a year. But I got to tell you, when I was able to release that for her, and she was able to realize how important it was, and she learned to ground herself. She learned how to draw energy up in so her own energy reservoir could refill again, and her energy reservoir, her reserve could return to normal. It gave her back her life. It was very wonderful. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you talk about reading somebody's body. I'm curious if you could just say in a nutshell how you go about doing that.
Well, that is actually an advanced cranial skill. It's called arcing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And what we do is we put our hands on the body, or if you're good at it, you can do it from off the body, but it's easiest felt with hands on the body very lightly. And you're listening for places in the body that are saying to you, over here, mm-hmm. over here. And they're usually places that have trauma that have been encapsulated. They've tightened down. And the body's walled them off so you can keep going through your life.
Right.
But that area is constantly signaling to anybody that will hear it, I'm having trouble over here. It might be an area where there's pain.
Mm-hmm.
It might be an area where there's no pain. There might be an area where there's just numbness.
Uh-huh.
You might have a restriction. You might have tightness in that fascially in that area. You could have acupuncture meridians could be restricted in that area. Blood flow, nerve movement through that area could be restricted. So, and it's called an energy cyst. And you
so
can
what about
actually.
What about emotional trauma? Can it get stored in any particular part of the body that you can assess?
Absolutely. And emotional trauma, by the way, can get locked anywhere in the body. And
mm-hmm.
in fact, energy cysts tend to form in parts of the body when the event happened had an emotional trigger to it. So, and the matrix at the time of the accident was an emotionally negative thing. So let's say you were terrified. In this particular case of the woman that I was talking about, she felt really stupid and ashamed that she had fallen, you know, because she saw herself as being such an adept hiker. So she felt really kind of dumb for having fallen. And so she just got right back up and pretended like nothing had happened, but she felt ashamed. And that matrix of shame held that in place, not to mention the fact that she really slammed her tailbone. But it stuck. It didn't actually release because of that emotional matrix. Fear is another thing. Terror, grief, shame, guilt. Fear.
Yeah,
I've already said that one. You know, those are the major biggies that will create an emotional matrix that will cause something to get locked into place and not let go until someone comes along to help you with it, someone that really knows how to listen.
Yeah, and this is fascinating. We have to go to another quick break, but when we return, more Suzanne Scurlock-Durana. Stay tuned.
Did you know what you learned in school was wrong, and there is actually a fourth phase of water beyond liquid, vapor, and ice? I know. I too was shocked when I learned this. What makes this new discovery so exciting? In scientific terms, this cutting-edge research explains the energetic potency of water. In practical terms, this missing link of water is now breaking open the floodgates for us to have a more complete understanding of our health, our weather, and the physics of our world. Join researcher, award-winning presenter, and author Professor Gerald Pollack of the University of Washington as he shares new scientific insights about how this fourth phase of water, the sun's energy, and geomagnetism affect our planet and how this affects you at East West Bookshop in Seattle on Saturday, August 5th at 7 p.m. For more information or to register, go to eastwestbookshop.com or call 206-523-3726.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms Helping Everyday Women Create Extraordinary Lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Welcome back to the Christine Church Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Boy, this hour is flying by, Suzanne. I'm really enjoying this conversation. I've so enjoyed your book, and I know that many others are going to be interested in learning how they can connect with you, how they can find your workshops, and, you know, links for your book. Can you please share with our listeners how they can connect with you?
So probably one of the easiest ways to do it is to go to Healing From The Core, C-O-R-E.com, healingfromthecore.com. You can go on Amazon and look for Reclaiming Your Body. It's been number one in new releases for trauma and PTSD ever since it came out in June 15th. It goes in and out now. It may not still be there, but Amazon and Barnes & Noble have it on. And also, if you're looking for, you know, we just had that conversation about advanced craniosacral work. If you go to upledger.com, UPLEDGER.com, you will find there's a very big tab on the front page called Find a Practitioner. And on that, you can put in your zip code, and you can see who's had the most training and the most certifications in their system. And it's really the gold standard still today in training for craniosacral therapists.
Right, and you said you teach the advanced courses, some of the advanced courses there, right?
I do. I don't teach the first levels anymore, but I teach from the third level on up. I have four different classes that I teach at this point, and I love it. Mm-hmm. It's still just such a huge part of my world, along with the Healing From The Core work, that whole curriculum and level of classes that I teach, as well as the Healing the Pelvic Floor that I teach for women at Esalen Institute and in Asheville, North Carolina. So go to my website and take a look at it. I love to teach, and it's been a fun ride these last 30 years, getting to deepen and deepen and deepen what I teach and how I'm able to help people come home to themselves more and more deeply.
And, you know, Suzanne, as I said to you, you know, sometime during the break, I want to share with our listeners, as I've read through some of the stories in this book and just, you know, following the story of how you're interacting with the client, brought tears to my eyes because you were bringing a special kind of presence. And I know that there are all sorts of techniques to it, but there's an aspect of how you bring yourself fully and with acceptance and curiosity that is incredibly profound and brought tears to my eyes. So it's powerful. And I know that this hour is flying by, and you've talked about the gut wisdom, you've talked about heart wisdom some. the pelvis. I know that there are lots more categories, but can you share just a couple more about, mm-hmm. you know, what parts of our bodies have wisdom and what that relates to?
Well, you have bone deep wisdom, and we talk about this. I mean, when you think about it, we actually speak about it in our language. We'll say, "Oh, that chilled me to the bone," or uh-huh. I knew all the way into my bones that was true. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're very different things that we actually say. We have language for this primal knowing that the body has.
Right. I just wanted to add that when I was in England, I forget the name of the mound area, but there were, you know, for many, many years, they were burying the wise elders there because they felt that there was wisdom in their bones. And they wanted to put that wisdom onto in like one area so you could go and sort of, you know, be there and be present with the wisdom of the elders that came from the skeletons after they were buried.
Isn't that great? See, we know this. We know this at some level, don't we?
And yet
in the modern world, we've totally left that behind. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of crazy to think about that the wise elders are being lost in a way.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully that's changing. And uh-huh. I really do pray that we're coming to a time where the wisdom of our bones, those innermost recesses of who we are, gets listened to more and more. And the bones, think of your bones, just from a physical perspective, they are the densest connective tissue in the body. Just think about that. Your bones are a lot more uh-huh. dense than the fluids that move through
sure.
your veins, and uh-huh. it's a lot denser than the muscles and the tendons. It's also, for the most part, other than your cranial bones, it's at the core of your body. So mm-hmm. I think of the metaphor of that is that when you drop with your awareness into the inner sanctum of who you are, like all the way deep into your bones, there's a real steadiness that comes from dropping into your bones and living there with a rich flow of energy moving through your bones. It helps you to feel steady and clear. So the gift of the bones is steady clarity, and mm-hmm. that's a very cool thing. Yeah. The one that's kind of fun that most people chuckle about is the wisdom of your feet and legs.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually going to be blogging about that sometime soon, and people can find my blog on my website. Because the feet and legs, the more and more research they're doing, when you activate your feet and legs, meaning when you get your buns in gear and go take a walk or a run or uh-huh. a swim, that it actually activates something inside of you that helps you come to a clear decision about something. If you're confounded with lots of details and you can't make up your mind, and
uh-huh.
you know, go take a walk and think about this. We know that. You know, whenever I ask this question, almost everybody in the room nods their head. Oh, yeah, I remember when I couldn't figure out what to do and I threw my coat on and went and took a walk. And when I
sure.
came back, I had the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think about it while I was walking.
Well, what does walking do to the brain?
Well, my theory is mm-hmm. is that it activates and moves information from the right to the left hemisphere of the brain and back again.
There's
a whole system called Brain Gym that talks mm-hmm. about this. And they have children that have vestibular issues doing cross-body movement
right.
sometimes when you're walking. There's research that shows that a good hour's walk every day is better than an antidepressant. I mean, there are many different things that we know about being in our feet and legs, but there's a wisdom in our feet and legs when we really listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a fun one, because if you talk about research starting to show up, the reason I'm going to blog about it is I've had two different pieces of research dropped into my lap in the last uh-huh. Couple months since this
right.
press about the feet and legs and walking and moving, you know, and how it, and it, they're really not talking about cardiovascular action in a sense, because
mm-hmm.
I can walk somebody through, you know, by verbally, I can walk them through what it feels like if they go to take a walk.
Right.
And what's it looking like, and imagine your arms and legs moving, and, you know, you're just walking on down the road and look around, and what do you see, and
mm-hmm.
smell the air, and what birds are singing, and what's happening, and you're going up a hill, or you're on a beach, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And when the person comes back from that meditation, they often have their answer, and they haven't moved a muscle. except in their mind's eye, except in their mind's eye, right? So there's something that goes on when you do that, even just in your mind's eye. Does that make
interesting?
Sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And I also think about the rhythm of walking, too, which puts me into a different state of mind as well.
Or running, or swimming. You know, all of those move the body in a rhythmic cross-body type of way.
You know, unfortunately, we have run out of time. Suzanne, your work is fascinating. I think that you are sharing deep wisdom with the world, and I know that people can access it and access others who have learned from you as well. Again, your website is healingfromthecore.com. Suzanne Scurlock-Duran, Reclaiming Your Body. Thank you, Suzanne, for being here. I've so enjoyed your company, your conversation, and your wisdom.
Thank you, Christine. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.